Welcome to the New Life Help Now podcast, where we give you professional help for your life now. We specialize in equipping you with usable life relationship tools that will help you in the workplace and at home. You'll find valuable information that will help you find peace with others and with yourself when you're all alone. Without further ado, the Life Help Now podcast. All right, welcome to our podcast. Today is February 2nd, 2015. My name is Darren Dixon, and with us right here, we have Miss Brenda Dixon.
Hi.
And we're developing this podcast. We started out with conference calls, and we're kind of wanting to grow this into a bigger thing and a more mature approach in what we're doing. And also, we want to change the format a little bit as we're kind of tweaking it. Right now, first off, I would like to ask Miss Brenda, what are your credentials? What is your education, and how long have you been doing it?
I have been a counselor for, I think this is 26 years. Yes, 26
wow.
years. Yeah. I graduated from the University of Kentucky and with my bachelor's degree. And then I went on and got my master's. Loved it. Just loved it. And that usually with your master's degree, they put you in practicums and let you do counseling. And I just, it was just me. I just loved it. And of course, the more I do it, the more I enjoy it. One of the things that's fun about counseling to me is that you can watch people change right before your eyes. And that has always excited me, to see people move from desperation to moderation to actually being normalized into enjoying their life. And that's my motivation for being a counselor.
That's awesome. What got you into it? What made you want to be a counselor?
Well, I was the street counselor in my neighborhood. my girlfriends, my neighbor friends, we would hang out with a baby on a hip and a toddler on our hand. And we would talk about world problems all the way down to personal problems. And I just started understanding it and started coming up with solutions. And I thought, well, I better get an education. I better do more than just stand on the street side.
So it was a natural thing that you wanted to kind of pursue on a more professional basis and get your education.
Yes.
Well, that's awesome. Well, today our podcast is on anxiety, and we're going to talk about what it is, and I'm going to ask questions, and you can answer them.
Okay.
So first off, what is anxiety?
Anxiety has a lot of symptoms. Some of them are hidden, and some of them are more open. The motivation behind anxiety is to trick people into thinking that they are wrong and somebody else is right, and that they are pretty quick to, I guess, accelerate their heart races, their thoughts move faster. It just kind of revs them up. Anxiety, to me, if I were going to explain it so a layperson could understand, it's kind of like putting your foot on a pedal on a car and pushing it all the way to the floor, and you don't go anywhere. You just don't go anywhere. And you might even have the other foot on the brake. So here you have your foot on the brake, and you have your foot on the accelerator at the same time, and you're just really revved up. You're using a lot of energy. You're ready to go somewhere, and you don't move.
So anxiety is something that just kind of freezes you.
pretty much in your tracks, even though inside of you it's kind of going wild. But mm-hmm. it's like, is that how people react to anxiety always, or are there other different ways to react to anxiety?
Well, there's degrees of anxiety. There's the person that's sitting in a job interview and they're very anxious, but they look normal. They look very mm-hmm. professional. Or there is the person that's in a hospital room and somebody they love is ill and they're actually wringing their hands and they're sweating and they can hardly even talk. So there's all sorts of degrees of being anxious.
So is anxiety and being anxious, is that fear or a form of fear, or is it have anything to do with fear?
Fear is a great motivator. It moves everything. Fear in the counseling room is probably one of the first things that I will identify. And it's not just anxiety. It goes in a lot of places. Depression. It just shows up a lot. And fear, when you bring in the subject of fear, I actually have people say, I'm not fearful. Mm-hmm. They don't see it. They don't realize that they have their foot on the pedal. They've pushed just as hard as they can push, and they have their foot on the brake, and they're not going anywhere, but they don't see that as being fearful.
So they really don't, haven't identified what that they are fearful, or maybe it's been there for so long that they've looked over it and don't realize that that's what it is, because mm-hmm. it's not what it happens in the scary movies.
You know, a little child, a little four-year-old can start being fearful of something. I don't know. We're talking in general terms, and this is for the listener to plug it in where they need to plug it in, which is good about being general. But you take a little 3 or 4 year old child, and they may get fearful because, let's say, their mom has warned them repeatedly, "Don't you run out in that street. Don't you do that." And the next thing the child knows is there's danger there. That's good. That part's good. But fear starts to develop, and they carry it through for years.
Does the fear develop because of the parents instilling it from the alarm in their voice, or is it just...
It could be the tone. It could be they saw something. I mean, it could be whatever. But I'm just using that as an example that they could have started so early that they didn't even recognize it as being a seed or planted inside of them at that early age.
So anxiety, I guess, maybe I had preconceived notions on what anxiety is, and you've explained it, but I still don't. How would you boil anxiety down to someone, even more a lay person, I guess somebody lower on my level could understand just in a couple sentences what anxiety is.
Anxiety is thinking one way and the body trying to keep up with the way it's thinking. Did that make sense?
Well,
not exactly. We're made up of thoughts.
Okay.
And when we think, our body is dumb flesh. That's just the only way to say it. Our brain is the part that is the navigator. And so when I think something, my body has to respond. It's not the other way around. So whatever I think, that's what is the motivator. So if I'm thinking fearful thoughts if I'm thinking that, then that's what I get. And that creates the anxiety. Also can create depression, being pressed down.
Okay. So you mentioned how anxiety affects people a little bit. You know, it kind of like it freezes you. What else does it do, and how else is anxiety? I guess it's not a positive thing. Is anxiety good or bad?
The kind that I see is bad. I would suppose if you were going to speak before 2,000 people, mm-hmm. and you hadn't done it commonly, you know, you weren't used to doing it, and you had a little bit of nervousness, that might be okay, because it kind of revs you up. It gets you the adrenaline going. Yeah. It gets everything charged up, and you're going to do a really fine job in that position. But basically what I see is abnormal anxiety. I see that freezes people, that inhibits their work or their just their lifestyle. And that's I'm talking about extreme, but it doesn't always have to be extreme.
So when it's strong enough to affect their quality of life, and it starts with messing with stuff, that's when you usually people come to you in your counseling chambers and you work them through it. Which comes out to another question. So someone comes in that has some problems or some issues or some things that they're dealing with, and maybe they don't know it's anxiety or whatever, but then you discover it is anxiety. What could be some of those situations are?
Well, before I talk about the situations, I want to say that there are all kinds of people that seek out a counselor.
Right.
And some people come at the last moment when their fingers are about ready to let go of the rope.
Gotcha.
I would really prefer it if they would come when they had the rope in the back seat and they were thinking about holding on to it. That would be a whole lot easier. And it would be healthier for the person.
Right.
And some people come because they may have had a mother or a grandmother that was anxious, and they don't want to go through that. And so they actually will ask questions like, well, what can I do? What kind of, they don't say tools, I call them tools, but what kind of techniques or tools can I use that will keep me from being like my grandmother who cannot leave her house?
Right.
So what was your other question? Because I was going to hold on to it, but what was it again?
I don't know. I'm just enjoying the ride. This is good. I mean, because I know so little about this that whatever you say is interesting. And I'm sure maybe a lot of the listeners would be like that too. And, you know, I'm just learning. So anything that you want to share is, you know, is good. I guess a question I would do is, if someone thinks they have anxiety, how can you identify it?
Okay. There's the obvious, which is sweating, hand sweating, actually sweating on the brow, clenched fist, tightened jaw, heart palpitations. And I've actually heard people say they feel like there's something sitting on their chest. And I just always say like an elephant. And they go, yes, yes. But it's so much pressure on their chest that they can hardly even function. And then it scares them. And then it increases.
Right.
And the interesting thing about, well, this is what you and I are talking about right now is actually called a panic attack.
Right.
And I'm talking about the full blown. I'm not just talking about when it's just starting. Well, I guess it could still be a panic attack, but
is that a form? Then that's a form of anxiety.
That's the extreme. Yeah. Okay. And this is what has been reported to me. I've heard of kids having this. They'll be going along, minding their business, doing schoolwork, and it really is all of a sudden they can't breathe as well. and their breathing and their heart and everything revs up and it gets more shallow, and then they start sweating and they can't see as well. It gets a little foggier for them, or that it actually gets dark for them. And then in some people have to go to the hospital, and some people it just goes away. It just dissipates. So it kind of, there's a lot of examples, and those are just two examples.
So what can you do about this? I mean, is something trigger it, or is, I mean.
And you know, that's the question that counselors ask. They search for where the trigger came from. And most people that I've talked to, they really don't. It's like, well, I was just getting ready to eat my lunch, or I was just getting ready to take the test, or I was just, you know, there's no connection from A to B. It doesn't make sense to them.
Right.
And what many times has happened is they've had something that's bothered them, and they didn't say anything about it. They held it down inside of them, and something else bothered them, something else. And the next thing you know, they couldn't hold it any longer. They just couldn't contain it any longer. And it manifests with shallow breathing and heart palpitations and the things that we were talking about a while ago.
Well, if someone has that, what do you do about it?
Well, they have to learn. The best way to describe it is to be like a tea kettle that's on the stove. Mm-hmm. And if you'll notice, it'll let off a little bit of steam as it goes. And then when it's ready, it'll start whistling. In other words, it'll let you know everything's perking and everything's ready, your water's boiled, everything's fine. If you don't take care of things, the water will boil dry.
Right.
So you want to get it right when the water's just right. So you want to say what you, and people hear me say this all the time, say what you mean and mean what you say. But there are people that don't know how to do that. That doesn't that sound simple?
Hmm.
But they don't know how to do it. And because they don't know how to do it, it kind of builds up on them. It's like
right.
The steam and the pressure builds up and they can't take it. And then some people go to medication. I'm the kind of practice that I have. I try to stay away from medication by showing people how to solve problems the healthy way. That I always go for that first. And if we find out it's not going to work, then everybody's quick to get on the bandwagon and get an appointment with a psychiatrist and get medication. I mean, you know, we're not going to be foolish. Then once they get on the medication and everything levels down in their system, the endorphins, all the chemicals in the body go to a level playing field, they might be able to wean themselves down from it once they've learned how to communicate better with themselves, with other people.
Right. So one of the big things that I'm hearing you say is, you know, learn how to communicate in a healthy way and to let some steam off. And like you said, mean what you say and say what you mean. Each of those words, if they're truly meant, can let off some steam.
Mm-hmm.
If they're done in a right way.
And once we're talking about really the first few sessions, that's what we've mainly been talking about.
Mm-hmm.
But once a person gets invested in wanting to live healthier, they may go several weeks, several months, and then they can start to get more comfortable and start to add in a little bit of humor. And humor is such a wonderful way to get healthy. It's marvelous.
So what about that was you described extreme symptoms of anxiety. What would be something a little bit less extreme, or maybe something that didn't get that far yet? What would be before that?
Well, I don't know what would be before that. It's not coming to my mind right now, but I can recall having clients that would be just maybe wouldn't want to go out of the house as much. Or because if they went outside too much and had to communicate with people, the anxiety would build up. So they just stay away from it. They just don't do it. And then the more they don't do it, the easier it is to not go out. And that's just one example. There may be people that don't want to drive in downtown Nashville, Tennessee, and they just won't get in their car and they won't drive. Well, it just gets easier to not go and not do it and to live their life or around anxiety free. But it's not them in control. It's the anxiety, the eliminating the anxiety that's the control.
So is all of anxiety have to do with just a lack of correct communication or saying, meaning what you say and saying what you mean?
From what I've seen, and I can only go with my practice, it's the way a person thinks. If I think, the roof's going to fall in, I'm going to act a little bit different than if I think it's not going to fall in.
Right.
So the way I think moves me in one direction versus another direction. And people can know, they can kind of test themselves a little bit and see how healthy they are by the things they're thinking or the words that they're saying. And I'm a big word person. I love watching my own words and helping people with their words.
Right. So we're running out of time for today's podcast. But in conclusion, let's say someone that's listening to this is really struggling with this, or they have identified, she's really hit on some things that I struggle with. What could be a summary of a nugget, a golden nugget that they could take and that could help them? What could they do? What information, what could they change or what could they work on or what could help them?
To learn to be fearless is the greatest thing a person can learn to do. And once they capture that and conquer it, they can overcome a lot of things in their life.
What technique could you offer them, or that they, or some type of advice or some type of something that you could give them now, just that they could start doing to start relieving that or start heading in the fearless direction?
Probably the simplest way is to identify it. To go through your day and see if you're driving to the grocery store and your fists are clenched on the steering wheel. Oh, there's something going on here. So to identify it. And I would write it down. I would take a log, a journal, a notebook, and I would write for 14 days. Mm-hmm. And I'd go back and I would write simply what I saw. My fists were clenched at 9 a.m.
Right.
And then January the 1st, 2015. And just, you know, simple. It doesn't have to be a lot. And then you can start to get a pattern. And that's what's helpful about being with a counselor.
Right.
Because a counselor can look at it and go, oh, yeah, I see. Look what's happening here. And the person may not notice what it is. So this nugget's probably bigger now, but it's probably write down what's going on so
that's
you can
good.
Identify your feeling.
So the first thing is to figure out what it is and the consistencies with it, and that 14-day thing or 15 days is a good way to see the patterns, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Excellent. Well, we're running out of time for today. Our next podcast, we can continue maybe talking about some more anxiety and we'll kind of go from there. So everybody, if someone's struggling with this, Miss Brenda, she also has online counseling. And you can go to lifehelpnow.com and you can contact her about setting up some phone counseling, and she can discuss with you what's, you know, how to help you from, you know, anxiety or whatever. My name is Darren Dixon. Today is February 2nd, 2015. We appreciate everybody for listening, and we hope that you gained something from our discussion today, and in some way this helped your life. So God bless you, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to the Life Help Now podcast. Please subscribe, and if you like what you hear, write a review and share it with a friend. Visit our website at www.lifehelpnow.com and send us an email and questions on what you would like answered on future podcasts. Miss Brenda Dixon is also available for phone consultations. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next week.